I think he's all sorry. Because he's how many dark things you are. These are like a relay. Right or wrong, yes or true, sentiment.
Wait, how many guys do you have?
No. Then I'm
well, that makes sense. Why? Okay, so Dean.
Well,
your voice is falling.
No, it's not.
He's like.
Okay.
Everybody down, faster stairs. Zamora, now.
We have an egg. You have redeemed.
Yeah, Paul, do you know where our music stands are? I can't find them. Can you go get two? Paul, get two music stands and they're in the puppet. Yes. Yes. There's a lot of kids going, so we really don't have much time. Yes. So I'll lead it tonight, the second, if you make it easy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and lead those two songs, and then that's fine.
Let us begin our evening service tonight as we turn to our hymn books, the blue hymn books, to page number 348 in our blue books, and let us stand together, please. We'll be singing the first and second verses. Let us stand together, 348 in our blue hymn books.
Redeem how I love to proclaim it. Redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem infinite mercy. His trial and forever I am. Redeem, redeem. Redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem. And forever I am redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me does continually dwell. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem. His trial and forever I am.
Let's remain standing for prayer at this time. Brother John, would you please lead us?
Dear Grace Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you and praise you for the message this morning. And thank you for the time to assembly tonight, Lord. We ask you to be with those who are still on their way here as they give them traveling mercies and come here safely, Lord.
Yes,
Father, we ask that you, Holy Spirit, would guide and direct the service tonight, Lord. tell us, Lord, that your Spirit would guide each of us individually in the understanding of your word, Lord, and how it's going to apply to our lives. May your Spirit guide the pastor as he gives us message tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated. Let's go to one more song before we turn over the program to Pastor Rice. And that next page will be 516.
Anchor hold in the storm of life. When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the storm tides lift and the cables strain, the anchor drift for storm remain. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. Fastened to a rock which cannot move, strong and firm and deep in the Savior's.
Sing number two.
It is safely moored the tongue of sand, for it dwells secure by the Savior's hand. And the cable passed from heart to mind, no strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded warm and deep in the Savior's love.
Amen. At this time we pause for the announcements. And Pastor Rice will give us the announcement.
Amen. We're glad you're here for this special Sunday evening service where the kids are doing most of the service. So we're looking forward to hearing all that they presented yesterday at regionals. And we're looking forward to a good time around the Word of God tonight. It's heavy in Bible content, so you don't have to worry about not getting fed tonight because there's a lot of good messages from each of the Bible lessons that they will present. All right, just by way of announcements, we want to direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. We're glad that you're here with us tonight at Northfield Baptist. Good to have Pastor Basso's daughter from Rio Grande, New Jersey, but residing up here. And what's your name again?
Joanne.
Joanne, that's right. Okay, Joanne. Good to have Joanne Basso here with us. Her dad pastors, what's the name of the church? Grace
Baptist.
Grace Baptist down in Rio Grande, New Jersey. And so we're glad that she is here with us tonight, and pray for her dad and the church as they continue on down there. And he took over about a year ago over down there.
Yep, last February.
Last February. Okay, all right. So, and how's everything going? Good. Amen. Amen. So it's always good to have sister churches in the area, and we're praying for Pastor Basso and the church down there. Then just by way of another of announcements, pray for a spiritual young man to be our pastoral intern this summer. Brother Evangelist Paul Raines knows of a young couple, his wife's sister's husband, who actually might be interested in this, so he talked to him about it, so he's going to get back to me regarding that. So let us pray for a young man who is who has some Bible training to be able to come in for a month and a half this summer, and we will pay him a salary, et cetera, to help us with our VBS and camp and all the other things that go on around the church. So let us pray for that this week. Let us make that a real matter of prayer so that we can get the right man for the job this summer. Then, just by way of other announcements, if you're interested in going to the ladies' retreat, it's Friday and Saturday, April 12th and 13th. See my wife if you want more information about that. And the other things are on here, so we look forward to these upcoming events. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned? How is the ladies' ministry going with the moms and the gifts?
It's going very well. There was some formula that was dropped up that had to get used up. Sometimes the meat isn't just the people, sometimes there's things out there that need to get used, and they can benefit a person that way because the items were getting close to their shelf date. So Sarah Altamari, there was somebody in their church who could benefit from this formula to use it up within the next month. So she grabbed almost what was left out there, and it just has been taken, and the evangelist's wife, she took them with her, not for her infant, but she took them at the next church, who knew, so she could pass it along as well, too. So the dates are still good, but and the amount of formula that's in this, 3 cases is only a week's supply, because it's ready-made, and it's actually more expensive. So it might be a blessing to somebody, and so she can kind of find moms that way, too, and connect that way. And there's something else that I'm not going to announce it just yet. I'll see what's coming through with a special email. So we'll see what's going on with that soon.
Okay. All right. Okay. And Faith is excited back there. Did you hear about baby food and you got excited? All right. Any other announcements need to be mentioned? John? Okay. All right. Actually, Paul, you're going to put this on tonight. All right. This time we'll have our ushers come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offering to God. We are collecting candy or small toys that can fit inside Easter eggs for our gospel egg hunt coming up in April 20th for the gospel egg hunt. So let us pray for that as well, that souls will come to be saved. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for saving the money you're about to save. Dear Lord, just want to pray. Amen.
Amen. This time we'll have our poets and crafts and art. Come on up if you did a poem, a craft, or an art, and show your piece. And then we'll take some testimonies. Anything you would like to thank the Lord for tonight? Okay, so if you did a poem, take your poem and quickly read it for us. Okay, Holly, go ahead.
Turn this way and nice and loud.
John, do you have the traveling mic? There we go. Okay, nice and loud. Holly just got braces last month, so that also impedes her vocal abilities.
Jesus gives to me. Jesus gives me the air I breathe. Jesus gives me family and friends. Jesus gives me a home to live in. Jesus gives me toys I have. Jesus gives me talents I use. Jesus gives me his loving time in the day. Jesus gives me all I need. How can anyone be ungrateful?
Okay, show him the poem. And what did you earn for that?
First place?
All right, she got first place.
Oh, wait, that's one. Oh, yeah, that's it.
All right, next one.
My poem is titled My Blessings.
Thank you for family and friends and for amazing love that never ends. Thank you for the sun to give us light and for a home and shelter through the night. Thank you for my things like my bed and for flowers and roses the color of red. Thank you for your care and your love and for pretty songbirds up above. Thank you for plants and pets from parents who help them through fears and frets.
Alright, good job. Turn it around, Lydia.
My poem is called Home Sweet Home. Heaven is a beautiful place. The Lord is there always. We'll thank thee for thy grace. Eternity you will stay. Home sweet home with the Lord. So much interest you never void. Meeting family, making friends up in heaven. Home sweet home, it never ends. Dancing, singing, laughing, cheering. Everybody happy, nobody interfering. Home sweet home, up in heaven. Heaven is a beautiful place for more than seven.
All right. Good. Amen. Heaven's great to look forward to.
My poem's called Thy Salvation. When I'm... My God is so great. My God is so strong. Happy, I'll sing his song. He is my best friend. He is our father. He gives me precious love, for I am his daughter. I read the Bible day and night. As I grow, I shine the night. Onto the others, this night. What has... I'll stay from sin. Extra, extra, read all about it. The little soup comes, so nobody doubt it. It is very easy. Easy as your ABCs and 1, 2, 3. Admit, believe, confess. God will forget about the mess. Love him, praise him, live.
I understand you. You've got to read slow. Okay, go to the beginning and start out real quick, okay? Okay, this pace, okay? Here, I'll read the first couple lines, and you read it at this pace, okay? My God is so great. God is so strong. Okay, got it? Okay.
When I'm sad or happy, I'll sing his song. He is my best friend. He is our father. He gives me precious love, for I am his daughter. I read the Bible day and night. As I grow, I'll shine the light unto others. This I know, his blood has cleansed me. White as snow, the devil tries me, but I still win. With God's word, I'll try to stay from sin. Extra, extra, read all about it. The Lord will soon come, so nobody doubt it. It's very easy. Now you'll see it's as easy as your ABCs in 1, 2, 3. Admit, believe, confess. God will forget about the mess. Love him, praise him, live for him too. For it could be today that he calls on you. Get saved now or you'll regret it later, for tomorrow there might not be a Savior.
Okay, Holly, what did you make?
The verse with sheep.
Verse with sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Good. Okay, next. We'll get these out of the way until who are you telling us? Okay. Show us what you... Show us what... All right, Lydia, go ahead. It's on.
This is my art. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15.
All right. She got first place for that. Okay, Zion.
Okay, this is my art. I drew an angel, and I got second place.
All right. Good. Okay, now Messiah, show your art project. What's that?
It's Calvary. It's Calvary.
Calvary, very nice. Let's give them all a round of applause, and then the more I... Now Press.
It's Noah's Ark.
Okay. And Holly, what'd you make?
On his road to Damascus.
Okay, what happened to him?
He got blinded.
Blinded by who? By who?
God.
Which person of the Godhead?
Jesus.
Very good. Okay. All right, next one we'll do is now one of the story telling Who's going first? Messiah, go ahead. Come on up.
Put your pictures up here. No, not sitting on the job.
There you go.
Hello, my name is Messiah Mercado. I am in third grade, and I am from Northfield Baptist Church. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that my story goes well, and I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What job did David have? He was a shepherd who took care of sheep. What animals tried to steal sheep from David? Yes, a bear and a lion both tried to took a sheep from David's flock. But David fought the lion and the bear and took his sheep back away from them. You and I know that fighting a lion or a bear isn't easy to do. But God helped David to be strong and to know just what to do. One day David would have a bigger enemy to fight. David's father, Jesse, sent David to see his three big brothers who were soldiers in the Israelite army. As they talked, Goliath stepped forward off the Philistine line on their hillside. He was a giant, much taller than most people. Goliath called out to the Israelites, "Send someone over to fight me." The soldiers were afraid and ran away. David was surprised, and he asked some soldiers, "Who is this Philistine who wants to fight the army of the living God?" David knew that God would help him fight the evil giant. Someone told King Saul that David wanted to fight Goliath, and immediately, he sent for David. David said to the king, "No one needs to be afraid because of Goliath. I will go and fight him." King Saul said, "But you're only a boy. You can't fight Goliath. He is bigger than you are. And he's been fighting since he was 4 or 5. He knows how to fight like a soldier." David told King Saul about the lion and the bear he had killed while watching his sheep. God helped him. King Saul said, "All right, go and the Lord be with you." When Goliath saw who was coming to fight him, he became angry. I am a dog that you come out here to fight me with sticks? I'll feed you to the birds and animals," David said. "You have come to fight me with a spear and a sword, but I have come to fight you in the name of the mighty God of Israel. Today I will beat you, and everyone will know that the true God is with Israel. God will win this battle." David ran towards Goliath, took a stone out of his bag, and put it into a sling. David swung the sling around his head and let the stone fly straight towards Goliath. The stone hit Goliath right in the middle of his forehead, and he fell down on his face. David won! You don't have to be a grown-up for God to help you. David was a boy and God helped him. God said, "Fear not, for I am with thee." Genesis 26:24. God was with David when he fought Goliath. God will help you too. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we all fight battles each day that are impossible to do without you. Lord, I thank you for staying true to your word and being beside me each day, every day. Amen.
Amen. One of the two judges stood up at the end and said that he wanted to commend our church because our storytellers were the only ones that began and ended in prayer, showing that they were relying on the Lord. And to me, that was a huge, huge acknowledgement from him.
And it was so very true because I watched almost all day long and I never saw anyone else do that.
Really?
Yeah. It was great.
Need something for the Bible?
Bibles to Luke chapter 19, and it says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was among the chief and publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, for he was could not pass because he was of little stature. So there was this one little man named Zacchaeus. He couldn't manage to get through the crowd because people didn't let him because they thought he was the only sinner, and they thought of him, like they hated him. He was a tax collector, and he collected a lot of money, more than he was supposed to. So he tried to get through, but he couldn't, to see Jesus, because everybody wanted to see Jesus, because he was coming through to Jericho. Then Zacchaeus saw where Jesus was headed, and he saw a tree, a sycamore tree, so he decided to climb up it. So he climbed up, and then he saw a huge crowd and Jesus walking through. And then Jesus stopped and looked up at in the tree. Zacchaeus, he said, come down. I want you to go to your home for dinner today. Zacchaeus was surprised. He almost fell out of the tree. Jesus knew his name. He called me by my name, he said. How did he know his name? He was very happy, so he immediately ran down, and he prepared a supper, and his friends and family came. They're in a very beautiful house, and they went in one of the very best homes in Jericho. And as they sat down, Zacchaeus said, if I've cheated anyone, or told lies to anyone, I'll give them 4 times the amount that I've stolen from them, and I'll give half of my amount to the poor. And he asked him to forgive him from his sinful sins that he's done. And Jesus then forgave him, and then he got saved, his whole household and him. That's the picture. Did you invite Jesus in your heart? If you didn't, you can now. Because Zacchaeus did, and he asked Jesus to forgive all of his sins. It's good for us to forgive others too, but God wants us to be able to say that you are sorry, that way he can forgive you. Let's close in prayer. Again, Father, this was a good day today, and thank you that listening went well, Zacchaeus, and Lord, hope the other people who are going to say the lesson today do a good job, in Jesus' name, amen.
From Northfield Baptist Church. Yes.
You got it.
Hello, my name is Lydia Rice, and I'm from Northfield Baptist Church, and I'm in 6th grade. And my story today is on Peter Walks on Water. Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that the rest of the people who are doing lessons will do them well, and that everyone here will be able to learn something new, and that they'll be able to apply it to their lives, and that you'll give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles to Matthew 14, 22-27. Have you ever been afraid to do something you think is impossible? Something that you think you can't do all by yourself, only God can do? Oh, that was the way with Peter. In Matthew 22-27 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into the ship and to go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. When evening was come, he was there all alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walk into the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. But Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, recognized Jesus' voice. But he still couldn't see Jesus clearly enough to tell if it was really him. Lord, he said, if it is really you, then let me come onto the water with you. Peter stepped out in the water, and he started walking on the water as if he were on dry ground. How would have you felt if you're walking on the water with Jesus? Would have you felt scared or happy? Scared. Well, Peter was he was trusting that Jesus would take care of him. He was trusting that the water would help him because God created everything so he can make things do what he wants him to do. Peter was walking on water as if he was on dry land. Peter took steps towards Jesus, but then started to look around him. He started to see the waves and the wind and the rain, and he started not to trust Jesus and started to get scared. Then he started taking his eyes off Jesus and started to sink. Lord, help me, he cried. But what do you think Jesus did? He helped him. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter and Jesus got back into the boat, and suddenly the storm started to die down. Sometimes we like Peter. Sometimes we will trust that Jesus will take care of us, and he won't fail us, and that he'll love us, he'll continue to love us. But then we'll start to look around in life and see the trials that we're going through and start to doubt that Jesus is there and that he'll take care of us the rest of the way. But God wants us sometimes to take our mind off of things in life and to focus on him more so that we can trust him more. Will you trust Jesus today? Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that thank you that everyone, that you gave me the words to say, and I pray that everyone here will learn something new and that they'll be able to apply it to their lives, and that the rest of the night will go well, and that those who still have their stories to do will do them well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hello, my name is... Hello, my name is Nomura Marcano, and I'm from Norfolk Baptist Church, and I'm in 6th grade, and my story is about Philemon. Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for everybody that made it out tonight to come here to hear the kids teach and show their awards. Lord, just give me the words to say in Jesus' name, amen. Oh yeah, I want you to think of a kind and generous person, but not just from anywhere in the Bible. I want you to figure out one from the New Testament. Anybody want to take a guess? No? Yes, it was Philemon. Philemon is a kind, nice, and generous person. Even though Philemon was kind, nice, and generous, he ruled a man named Onesimus, and Onesimus was a terrible person. He did 3 things wrong. First, Onesimus slept on the job, and then Onesimus stole from Philemon, and lastly, he just ran away. Even though Onesimus ran away, God still had a plan. God's plan was to plant Paul so that Paul can get Onesimus saved. At first, Onesimus rejected getting saved, and then he realized, well, I did sin. I need to go back. So he got saved, and then he went back to Philemon to ask for Philemon's forgiveness for sleeping on the job, stealing from him, and running away from the situation. So when Onesimus went back to Philemon to ask for forgiveness, Philemon also realized that he wasn't a good person either because he was ruling Onesimus, and that wasn't right. So Onesimus was free from partially sin, Philemon, and forgiveness. In Philemon 1:22 it says, but with all, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. This is how Onesimus got saved. Now I want you to think, what would you do if you were Onesimus? Would you sleep on the job, steal from your boss, and run away from the situation? Would you ask for forgiveness? Would you get saved? Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for giving me the words to say and a wonderful support audience I have. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. 546.
Hello, my name is Lion Mercado, and I'm from Northway Baptist Church, and I'm presenting a hymn story on Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Let us open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to reshare all of the knowledge that we presented at regional. And Lord, I just want to pray that you give me the words to say. I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus has become a familiar hymn. It is widely used in Christian communities. The author and proposer of this hymn is Helen Howarth Lemmel. She first got the idea to make this hymn when a missionary friend gave her a pamphlet called Focus. The pamphlet contained these words, "So turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full into his face, and you will find that the things of the earth will acquire a strange new dimness." Helen knew that God was telling her to stop and listen. So she did, and the chorus immediately struck her heart without any notes or any melody. The song was finished a week later. The song was published in 1918. 4 years later, it was included in the Glade Songs book, a book containing 37 books, 37 songs from Helen. It became especially popular that same year. Keswick Bible Conference opened where it was first introduced. Since that time, the song has been included in most evangelistic hymnals and has been translated into many languages around the world. Helen Howarth Lemmel was born on November 14, 1864 in Waldorf, England. She was the daughter of Wesleyan Methodist pastor, and she came to this country with her family at the age of 12. Helen lived briefly in Mississippi before settling in Wisconsin. Soon she developed a reputation as a brilliant singer, even studying private voice in Germany for 4 years. She traveled widely throughout the Midwest during the early 1900s, giving concerts in many churches. Later, Miss Lemmel taught voice at the Moody Bible Institute and then at the Bible Institute of Los Angeles. In 1961, Howarth Lemmel settled in Seattle, Washington, where she remained active with Christian activities as a member of Barlow Baptist Church of that city during the last days of her life. In addition to being known as a brilliant singer and musician, Miss Lemmel was also widely recognized as a woman with remarkable literary ability. She wrote more than 500 hymns and poems. Miss Lemmel also authorized a very successful book for children entitled Stories of the Bible and composed many children's musical pieces. She remained active in God in her musical and literary pursuits until her homegoing age at the age of 97. How easy it becomes even though for those of us who profess to be faithful followers of Christ to get caught up in the things of earth so that our heavenly vision and values become blurred and dull. This often happens even when we're active in Christian activities. We become so involved in merely doing things for God that we miss the real blessings of enjoying the personal fellowship of Jesus Christ in our daily lives. Let us close in prayer. Dear Holy Father, thank you for giving me the words to say, and thank you for this opportunity that we all had. And I just want to pray that the rest of the service goes well. I ask you in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Your Bibles to Psalm 54:1-7. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank this day. Thank this day against our ship, Lord. And bless this message, Lord, as I present it. And help us all to be faithful, Lord, in preparing to meet you, Lord, at the rapture, Lord. And help us to get as many souls saved as we can, Lord, with your faith and guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 54:1-7. David peered through the scraggly bushes at the silent forms creeping through the pass. There was no moon, but his experienced eyes told him hundreds of King Saul's soldiers were filing into the valley. A sentry, breathless from running, whispered in his ear, "Sir, we just checked the pass to the south. It's swarming with men too. There's no escape that way." Then he looked up the cliffs that towered on either side of the narrow valley. "Nor that way either. Looks like King Saul has us this time." But David only lifted his face to the starry sky. "All right, Lord, they've cornered us. So how are you going to get us out of it this time? You've done it before, and I know you will do it again." Psalm 54, 1 through 7. Responsive reading, please. To the chief musician on Nagnoth, Mashchal, a psalm of David, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, "Doth not David hide himself with us? Save me, O God, by the name, and judge me by thy strength." For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul, that have not set God before them. Selah.
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them.
He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. Altogether, for he hath delivered me out of trouble, and mine eye has seen upon thine enemies. Point number one, Christians need faith to thrive. Christians and missionaries in communism countries need faith to share the gospel with people, knowing that God's in control, not persecution. Even we need faith, knowing God will be working in the hearts of those we witness to. Now, is there a time that you've witnessed to someone and you didn't know what to say, but you asked God in prayer of what to say? Yes. So, we need to trust in God that He'll give us the words to say to other people to give out the gospel. Let us turn to 1 Samuel 23, 24 through 29. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Moan, in the place on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into the rock and abode in the wilderness of Moan. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Moan. And Saul went on the side of the mountain, and David and his men on the side of the mountain. And David hasted to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men come past David, and his men round about to take him. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, "Haste thee, and come, for thy Philistines have invaded the land." Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David, and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called the place Salamanachithah. And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds and in Gedi. Point number two, Christians need faith to know God answers prayer. Again in that passage, God answered David's prayer concerning his escape from Saul. But don't take that rescue lightly. At that exact moment when the Israelites were about to find David's hiding place, God intervened and sent the Philistines to attack Israel, so Saul would have to redirect his army. What an amazing God we serve. Is there any time in your life that God has redirected some trial and replaced it with something good? Yes. So, last passage, please turn to Psalm 138, 1 through 8. And let us read this responsibly. A psalm of David, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. In the day when I cried out, answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy hand shall save me. So when God helps us with the problem, sometimes we forget to thank and praise Him for His guidance. In this passage, David is thanking God for all the things He's done in his life. We need to thank God for all the things He's done in our lives. So is there a time when when God has answered your prayer, but you haven't praised Him for it? And then He sent a trial your way just to get you back to praising Him? So in the conclusion, even when we think our life is going smoothly and we don't give God our time in prayer, He gives us trials just so we can get our prayer back in full gear. But when our prayer life stays or increases over full gear, He blesses us beyond compare. So give God His share of your life. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, thank this day, thank this message You've provided to all of us, Lord, and help us all to have more faith in You and to praise You after You've blessed us with a blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So as we close this service, I think we learned quite a few lessons through these presentations. Messiah helped teach us that through David, that trust in God and not in what? Not in armor, not in success, not in physical prowess, but in the Lord, right? Jesus is the only one who can help us through our trials and tribulations. Let's turn over to Psalm 68. I read this in my devotions this morning. Psalm 68, one of the passages I read this morning. Good to have each one with us tonight. And it's not our normal Sunday night service. We're letting the kids be in charge of it because they did a great job presenting yesterday and they won all these awards. And Azaria is not here tonight, and Sahara and Briella aren't here tonight. They helped earn a few more that aren't up here. Azaria's are over there that she earned. And so she'll have to do hers another time. Psalm 68, it says, let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away, as wax melteth before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name, extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So here we see tonight that through the children's presentations that God wants to help His children, but we all have to do our part, right? Zacchaeus had to do his part. What was Zacchaeus' part to do? So that as Jesus came to his house, what was his part to do? To recognize what he had done that was wrong and repent of it. And believe on Jesus. So he had to recognize his sin. He had to repent of his sin. Okay, well here God wants us as believers, you know, we can never get to the point where we say, I've arrived. I've finally done all that God requires me to do. And I have no more sins that I'm ever going to battle in my life. I'm good. No, we have to confess our sins each day. Okay? We can't get to a plateau where we think we've arrived and we don't have any more sins. No, we do sin. We should make sin less and less. Sin should only be occasional and not habitual. See, the world does habitual sin, right? They had the beer fest in Atlantic City. I saw that in the paper. And, you know, people were staggering out of there. And they all had to call cabs. And the cabs wouldn't take them because there was too many people. And the cab drivers wanted a higher rate, you know. Instead of taking them just a few blocks down, they said no. And we want somebody we're going to take farther for a toll. And so then they called Uber drivers. Does that sound like fun, where you have to stagger out of a place and no one trusts you behind the wheel because of decisions you have made? No, that's the world's idea of fun. And they showed all these pictures of these people getting drunk and then trying to stretch out their arms and do things. That's not fun. That's sad. That's the devil tries to give for people to have fun. Oh, look how fun it is 2 hours later as you're drunk and staggering and you can't remember what you did, you know. That's not fun. That's the devil's idea of fun, is to laugh at people as they make fools of themselves and go deeper into sin. And then when they get drunk and beat their wife or beat the children or do something else that's foolish, that the devil laughs and laughs. And when marijuana, you know, becomes legalized, eventually it probably will. And how sad that is. I hope it never does. I hope it never does in New Jersey, around the country. And people think, well, look at all the tax dollars that we're going to reap in. Well, guess what? That's blood money right there. That is literally blood money, because people are going to die in the process as they get intoxicated with marijuana and then get behind a wheel and then kill somebody or kill themselves. So they say, oh, we're going to get $1 billion in tax revenue. I saw billboards up in Philadelphia yesterday as we were driving through, literally saying, you know, let's get this marijuana passed in Pennsylvania because we're going to get $1 billion in tax money. Is that any way to help change laws? No, money is the root, the love of money is the root of all evil. And sure enough, we're seeing that before us, that those politicians are greedy for more tax revenues so that they can go spend it. And meanwhile, what's going to happen to all those people who get intoxicated with marijuana and then get deeper into it? And it's called the gateway drug for a reason. Why is it called the gateway drug? The first one people will start using. And then they'll say, ooh, I like that. Oh, the way it felt, I like that. And then they'll start using other ones, and heroin and acid and opioids and all the others. And so literally our government is setting up evil for people to go into. And they're going to say, oh, well, we're going to get $1 billion in tax money. It's going to be blood money. What happened to Judas' money when he sold... Or when Judas got the 30 pieces of silver for betraying Jesus, they said, here you go, Judas, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here's your money. Go somewhere else. And Judas leaves with that money in his hands. How does he feel? Awful. Absolutely dreadful. He feels awful. He says, what have I just done? I betrayed the one person who was a true friend my whole life. The one person who was perfect. The one person who loved me even though I didn't love him. The one person. And he looks at his money and he says, this is blood money. He says, they're going to kill him. So he thinks, oh, well, I'll make it better. I'll go give the money back. He goes to the temple, to the high priests that are meeting that very night at midnight, doing a mockery of a trial. He says, here, take your money back. I don't want it anymore. He set Jesus free. And he might say words like that. And meanwhile, they say, yeah, that's your money now. See to it yourself. Go away. Go away, Judas. You already made your choice. And so Judas, and he could have made the choice. You know what? I've sinned. I've done wrong. Lord, please forgive me. As Jesus did to every other sinner that came to him for forgiveness, he forgave. Judas never went to Jesus for forgiveness. He was called the son of perdition. Elizabeth, look up here. Shh. He was called the son of perdition for that reason.
He has a special place in hell reserved just for him. Because he had the highest level of accountability. He was with Jesus every day. He was part of the two and two that Jesus sent out to preach. He saw Jesus as the Son of God every day, and he still refused him. Judas's place in hell is probably the hottest down there. One of the hottest. Among all of the other mass murderers and dictators and killers. And so we see his blood money. And so our government's trying to get blood money with people who are going to die through that marijuana and through the alcohol and through the other vices. And they say, well, we're gonna use it to give to people. You know, and we'll use the lottery to give to elderly, senior citizens. I wonder how many have fallen for that one, you know. That's another thing of making people poorer in the name of more revenues. Okay? So don't listen to the devil's vices. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Now, does God need our help to arise up? It's an interesting phrase there. Let God arise. Does he need our help? No. What he needs is for us to get out of the way. He needs us to say, Lord, how excellent is thy name, O Lord, in all the earth. Let me let you be God, and let me get out of your way. Confess my sins before you, forsake them utterly, humble myself before you, as we smite our breasts, as the publican smote his breast. He would not even enter into the inner court of the whole of the temple. He was there on the outer court, smiting his breast, not even looking up to heaven. That's how we need to stand before God. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let's get out of God's way by repenting, acknowledging our sin, repenting of it, and confessing it every day. And that's how we become happy. That's how we become joyful Christians. Yeah, we heard that this week through the messages of Dr. Gilmore and Brother Raines, that how we become joyful, happy Christians is by keeping our sins confessed and forsaken with God. Saying, Lord, you alone are good. You alone are worthy. All praise belongs to you. Lord, let me seek you daily, and let me get my sins up to you and under the blood every day so that you can be glorified through my life. I don't want to get in your way of what you want to do in my life. You know, there's people that God wants to put across our path this week that we have to get out of the way of our own sins and our own self to let God work through us. In and through us. Helen Lemmel, what I learned from her story was that she was a godly lady and a godly, sweet Christian worker, and she served the Lord and perhaps her singleness her whole life till she was 97. Can you imagine how many Bible lessons she taught children? How many Christians she encouraged? How many little jobs that she did for Jesus till she was 97? So we see that song, you know, I see that ladies often make the best hymn writers because they have a special way to put it on paper. Okay, yes, there's a lot of men that wrote hymns, but there's also a lot of ladies. Ladies, don't ever let anyone tell you you can't ever affect people for God. There's so many jobs that a lady can do. May not be behind the pulpit preaching, but it's teaching children, teaching other ladies, teaching younger ladies, teaching older ladies, helping your neighbors get saved. No, whether they're men or ladies, you know, we're all called to be soul winners, and everyone has a platform to preach the Christ to every lost sinner. And so we have so many godly ladies in the Bible and all through Christian history that have done great things for God. So that's what I learned from Helen Lemmel. Enter into that line, young girls. Enter into that line of not being another godly lady for God. Don't let the world spoil your virtuosity. Don't let the world say, oh, you gotta dress real immodestly, and you gotta talk real immodestly, and you gotta act like the world, or else you're never gonna amount to anything or get a guy or any of those things. Well, guess what? Don't believe it one bit. You keep your standards high. Amen. Until the Lord brings some guy into your life. And you know what? He's gonna be glad you did. And you will be glad you did. The one you lower your standards for, guess what? He's gonna leave you in a minute. Okay? Just wait a few months and he'll leave you. Okay? If you lower your standards for somebody.
Okay, he may last a year or two or three, but he's going to leave you. Okay, so don't lower your standards for any guy. Keep them nice and high, because the Lord's going to bring the right person into your life at the right time. Right. And it says here that God is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. God loves us. He cares, you know, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we have a family, or whether we're living by ourselves. Notice here, God completes us. God completes us. He is our husband if you're not married. He is our wife if you're not married. He is our father if we're a child without a physical father. You say, what kind of father figure do I have to look up to? My dad, he left. Well, guess what? He didn't leave. Your heavenly father is right here. And he's very close to you. And he wants to be very close to you. He wants to be your father. Not just your heavenly father, but he wants to be there for your every time of need. He is here. He is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows. God setteth the solitary in families. You say, well, what about me? I feel like my family is like leaving, you know, or they don't care about God and I feel so far removed from them. Well, guess what? God's going to set you as a solitary person, lonely one, in families. He's going to give you a family that's closer than your physical family. He's going to give you a spiritual family. He's going to give you a church family, a place that you can come and each week and you can meet with God's people and people will hug you and people will love on you and you will be able to love on someone else. That's what we need. We need spiritual families. That's often closer than our physical families. My two brothers, they're on the mission field. I can't see them but once every year or two or three. And so I may not feel as close to them, but I can sure feel close to my church family. I have other brothers and sisters here that I feel close to. And so God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. He brings us out. We're bound with chains. We're bound with the chains of sin. And he breaks them off. Any vice that we have, any habit pattern that we have, guess what? If we will just surrender to the Holy Spirit, give it over to God and say, Lord, you're going to have to take this one from me, he'll break those chains right off our hearts and off our bodies. So let us let God have his work. Let God arise in your heart tonight. Let him arise in your life. See what great things he's going to do in your life if you'll just let him have room to get to have first place. Put him on the throne tonight. Let us bow together in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here tonight, you say, Pastor Rice, I don't know for sure. If I were to die tonight, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven, but I would like to know. I would like to ask Jesus to save me from my sin. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quietly, right there where you see. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I'd like to be saved. As a Christian, you'd say, Pastor, I'm already saved. I already know the Lord is my Savior. But I'm struggling, and I realize God is right there. God is right here for me. The trials, as Peter was going down in the water, and he said, oh no, I'm going to sink. And he put his eyes on the water instead of on Jesus. As he was sinking, Jesus lifted, put his hand right down and picked him up. Amen. You say, I'm looking at all the trials and tribulations of my life, and I feel so overwhelmed. But I realize Jesus is right here. He's reaching out his hand. And I want to take his hand tonight. I want to take his hand. I want to claim his promises and have him lift me up out of doubts and fears and discouragement, and perhaps depression. I want him to lift me out of it by obeying him and confessing and forsaking sin. If that's you, just slip up your hand tonight and say, Pastor, pray for me. Amen, amen, amen. I feel his hand. Pastor, pray for me. Amen. I need the Lord. And I'm reaching up to take his hand tonight. Amen. Through trials and tribulations, I'm going to trust him. Let God arise in my life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be reminded of these great truths from your word. From the Psalms, how David ran away from Saul. And every time Saul was about to surround him and kill him, you provided a way of escape. And what a spiritual lesson we can learn from that. Right when he was about to kill David in the cave or in the valley, that all of a sudden the Philistines came around and he had to go and run off and fight them. What a beautiful picture that is, how the devil tries to surround us and he can't get to us because every time he tries, you're right there to send him away with something else. Lord, we thank you for such protection you grant us. Pray you'd bless now this invitation time. And if anyone needs to do business with you, as they've heard such wonderful challenges tonight, Lord, help us to do business with you and kneel at the altar and give our heart and our life and our love to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn book tonight, the blue hymn book. As we think on these things, number 532, in times like these, you need a Savior. 532, let's all stand together as we sing. And if you need to come for any reason, would you come kneel at the altar tonight? Would you come do business with God? Just pray. Maybe you're burdened about someone else. Would you pray for them? Whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, would you come? Let's all stand together as we sing this song. 532, 532. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Would you come? The Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. Would you give it over to God? Saturdays just seem to be so busy with everything that's going on. So Tuesday at 10, I'll be going out soul winning. So if anyone would like to join me, Tuesday at 10, to go into the community and just make contacts with people and win them to Christ. There was a man that quite a few people we met this week as we went soul winning. And one man in particular lives on Northwood Avenue here in
and Dr. Gilmore and Paul met him, and then me and Brother Raines met the lady who gave us the red band, so we gave her the gospel. She's very interested. So a lot of contacts, a lot of follow-ups need to be done this week, and so pray for that Tuesday at 10. And if you would like to come with me, it'd be great to have a second person. So that just want to put that out there. All right, this time let us close in prayer. And okay, and this is Shahid's cousin that passed away that he mentioned last week, Melvin Eugene Lewis Jr. So if you want to see the funeral bulletin, you can see that. Yeah, he has that there. And, so let's pray for one another this week. Pray especially for Ernie Altamari. Pray for Pastor Hall. He has heart surgery in 3 or 4 weeks. And pray for the others, Carol's cousin, and Jimmy's family. Let us close in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be together around your word. We thank you for each of the young people that presented tonight, Lord. We thank you for the blessing they were to us, and how at such a young age they showed that they can serve you, and they can do it competently and well. Lord, help us to be encouraged tonight to continue teaching, training the others behind them, and the ones who've just gotten saved recently. Help us to disciple them in love and in your way, that we can develop them into choice servants of yours to carry on the next generation, Lord. We are entrusting these young people to carry on the next generation of teaching their generation about Jesus. We pray you to bless also the prayer request. We think of Shahib and his family and the loss of his cousin. We think of Jimmy and his family and loss of his fiance's, his brother's fiance's sister. Lord, we pray you just be with the family. Help any who aren't saved to get saved in that. Pray for Carol's cousin who's going through some severe trials with the liver, the spots on the liver. Pray you just heal them. Them in a mighty way, Lord. And I pray you be with Justine with her upcoming things that she has. Pray for any others who are hurting at this time, Lord. And pray you just put your healing hands on Ernie Altamari as well as Pastor Hall. You heal them in a mighty way. And we thank you for this time tonight. Pray you bless Phoebe and Sister Basso tonight as they visit our service tonight. And pray you lead and guide, direct them for your honor and glory. And each one of us, in Jesus' name, amen.